Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen.
Did you hear who's coming? Nicodemus. Nicodemus was coming to visit with Jesus at night. Nicodemus, Pharisee of Pharisees, member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling religious body in Jerusalem. Nicodemus was coming to Jesus. Nicodemus, this was Jesus' golden opportunity. This was his opportunity to make the big show. To make the big show, because Nicodemus, he was in power. He had connections. He probably had cocktails with Herod in Jerusalem. Jesus' opportunity was there. Maybe he could even play Herod's palace in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, if you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And guess what? Herod was chummy with Rome. Maybe he even knew Pontius Pilate. Whoa! And he could introduce Jesus to Pontius Pilate. Maybe instead of Herod's palace, Jesus could make Caesar's palace. Really make it big. He could make it fantastic. Maybe he could become Jesus Christ, superstar. The power was there. The opportunity was there. Jesus' golden ticket was here. This was his big breakout opportunity. Yet, Jesus' way was different from how the world sees success and pizzazz and all this stuff. His way was God's way. Jesus, remember last week you heard about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness? And Satan said, bow down and worship me. And all this pizzazz, all this glitter, all this gold, all this can be yours. What did Jesus say? No. Worship the Lord your God, and worship God only. And God's way is a different way from the world. From the world. Jesus blew it. His opportunity to make the big time. Or did he? Maybe Jesus knows a better way. A good way. God's way that's different from all the pizzazz and all the gold and all the power and all the glitter that this world can put in front of you. Born from above. Born again. Wow. How can this be? You know, some scholars compare this to a Buddhist koan. You know, a Buddhist koan that tells you an impossible thing to break your logic and make you think a different way. It's like, you know, what's the sound of one hand clapping? You know? I can do that. Nobody else can do that in my family. But what's the sign? You know, what is that? What's going on? It's born from above into the sweet, blessed confusion. That's what my supervising pastor would say to me in Brookville when I was a student pastor. I'd get confused. Sweet, blessed confusion. Stay with the confusion, because this way God's going to wipe away some of your pre-thoughts. And you'll learn something new from the Holy Spirit. Jesus' way. Enter into the amazing grace. The amazing grace that Dave read about, that Abraham knew and Paul knew. The amazing grace of being born from above. And it happened to us already. You know how it happened to you? In many ways. In your baptism. And your baptism happened, sure. And what does it mean that you're baptized? What does that mean? Do you ever think about it when you wake up in the morning? You're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What's this like? What's this like? Well, one thing that helped me was Father Capon, who's not a food, but he's a priest in the Episcopalian Church. And he wrote a book called The Mystery of Christ and Why We Don't Get It. He writes, suppose I were to tell you that I put $1 million in your backyard and put a rock over it, and that $1 million was yours. I have to tell you that I have no claims on it. I'm not going to touch it. It's yours. In your backyard, under that big rock, there's $1 million in crisp new bills. Now, on one level, for you, it would be great good news. $1 million in my backyard, and it's mine. This is great news. You could be the possessor of $1 million. No conditions attached. No danger of my reneging on my gift. It's there. It's there. And if you trust me, that is, if you go out and open this up and start turning over that rock, sooner or later, you'll be able to relate to that $1 million. You can build, buy a car. You can help the poor. You can tithe to St. Paul's. That'd be great, $100,000. That'd be super. You can do anything you wanted with the money. You can relate to it. But now pay attention. Your faith, your trust in me, your faith and trust do not earn you the money, nor does it con me into giving you the money. It's yours all along because I was crazy enough and generous enough and wasteful enough to bury it in your backyard. Your faith, you see, your faith is no way the cause of the gift. The gift was free for your enjoyment. The gift was there. But suppose now, instead of running into your backyard and getting that big boulder up and getting that $1 million, you started to think about it. You start thinking about it. Start getting some analysis, paralysis. You started to theologize about it. At that point, the $1 million, instead of being great good news, it could become just one big problem. One big problem. You might, for example, decide that I was talking out of my hat. I was lying to you. Or that I had a perverse desire to wear you out by having you lift this big boulder. Or that no one in his right mind would actually do what I claimed, or that you didn't really deserve such a gift as this, or that it was impossible for me to give you such a gift, or if I couldn't be there in person and somebody came in my stead and told you about this gift in your backyard, you might say, well, I don't believe it because I don't believe the person that sent you was alive. He's a myth. He's a myth. He's not true. In any case, the longer you thought about it, the less likely it would be that you would bother turning over the rock and getting the gift that was already there. Today, Jesus invites Nicodemus to go with the flow of the Spirit beyond his knowledge of Torah, beyond his powerful connection with the Muckety Mucks, to go beyond that and enter into a new space, the space of grace, the space of kingdom of God, the space that Jesus offers. He invites Nicodemus to dance with the Holy Trinity. He invites Nicodemus to trust him and to go with the gospel. And he tells Nicodemus he can enter into Jesus' way of life because that's where life is real. Eternal life. Lively life. Overflowing life. salvation, space to be you, warts and all, you are loved and accepted as you are, a place of healing, a place of goodness, a place of faith, hope, and love. Impossible? A fairy tale? Something for naive and weak minds to hold on to because we can't deal with reality? Oh no. Oh no, no, no. Jesus said, for mortals, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. To trust in the good news. To trust that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now I want you to play along with me, okay? When I go like this, I want you to say your name, okay?
Faith.
One more time, your name.
Faith.
Okay. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when
Amen.
Believes in him, you should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world to save,
Amen.
Not to condemn. Enter into being born again, being born from above. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.